Turn your Bibles to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 17. I have a Thanksgiving message this morning. There's honey in the rock. Did you notice that theme really throughout the service? We're not done yet. There's honey in the rock because Jesus shed his blood on the cross. It's all about Jesus and what he did for us, becoming the perfect sacrifice, the Lamb. He died in our place so that we might live forever. And that is something we should be grateful for. Martin Rinkhart was a minister during the 30 Years' War. That was a war in Europe from 1618 to 1648. It started between the Protestants and the Catholics. And then by the time it was over, it had to do with the whole control of Europe. It was one of the most bloodiest wars in the history of mankind. Some 4.3 to 8 million died during those 30 years. And it wasn't just because of the war, it was because of pandemics. It was because of a plague, especially the plague of 1637. Rinkhart, at that time, in that town, was the only minister alive. And he conducted 40 to 50 funerals a day during that year. Some 5,000 funerals. And it was that year Martin Rinkhart wrote a hymn, "Now Thank We All Our God." Do we all thank God, even in the midst of the worst circumstances? Do we thank God? In anticipation that school will be out, that we will gather together as a family, perhaps with friends, for fellowship and for food. In the middle of all of that, the question is, will we really take time to thank God? Because that's the heart of Thanksgiving. The very center of what Thanksgiving is all about is that we actually take time to thank God. There was a boy that came home from a party, and the mother asked him, "Well, did you thank Miss Jones for a wonderful party?" And the boy said, "Well, someone before me said thank you, and she said to him, well, don't mention it, so I didn't." The sad truth is this: a lot of times we don't mention it. We are recipients of God's daily blessings. Psalm 68:19 says, "Blessed be the Lord who daily loads us with benefits." In 2 Corinthians 4:15, "For all things are for your sakes. And this is why, that God's amazing grace, having spread through the many, may cause us to be thankful." His amazing grace should cause us to be thankful. And it says here, "To the glory of God." In other words, God inhabits our praise, our thanksgiving. It brings him glory when we express our gratitude to him. All of us have experienced an unlimited amount of God's blessings. His grace is by far one of the most precious blessings we have. Do we thank God enough for His grace? Here is a story in Luke 17 about 10 lepers. 10 lepers who experienced the greatest miracle of their lives. And yet one, only one out of the 10 expressed thanksgiving to God. Let's begin reading with verse 11 down to verse 19. Now it happened as he went to Jerusalem that Jesus passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. Then as he entered a certain village, there met him 10 men who were lepers, who stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." So when he saw them, he said to them, "Go show yourselves to the priest." And so it was as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, returned, and with a loud voice, he glorified God. And he fell down on his face at Jesus' feet, giving him thanks. He was the least likely one, for he was a Samaritan. So Jesus answered and said, "Were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? Were there not any found who returned to give glory except this least likely one, this foreigner?" And then Jesus said to them, "Arise," or said to this Samaritan, "Arise, go your way. Your faith has made you well." Some call this passage the thankless 9. But I want to focus on the one who returned and gave thanks to Jesus. We're going to look at the miracle that was sought, the message that was spoken, and then the master who was shocked. First of all, what is this miracle that was sought? Jesus, in verses 11 and 12, was on his way to Jerusalem and to the cross. He was interrupted by many on his journey to Calvary. And here he is interrupted by the largest group of lepers mentioned in the Word of God. 10 lepers stopped Jesus. They were together. They were together perhaps because maybe they were wanting to increase the sympathy from others. They were together in their misery. But they were so different in their method, in their expression of gratitude. Jesus was passing by. And you know, when Jesus passes by, something is going to happen. Something great and glorious will always happen when Jesus passes by. It says here that they stood afar off from Jesus. Now that was the custom. It was recorded in Leviticus 13 that when they went to be pronounced unclean by the priest, they had to stand outside the tent several yards away. They could not come in contact with anyone else because, of course, leprosy was contagious. They had to stand far apart, some say 50 yards from the clean. They had to announce that they were unclean. Can you imagine the humiliation? Can you imagine the separation, the isolation that they experienced? So they stood afar from Jesus, but it wasn't, I don't think, just because of a custom. Maybe it was because of a reverence for Jesus. They had reverence. They were in the presence of the Son of God. They had heard about Jesus, certainly. the way they approached Jesus and what they said to Jesus, and they stood afar out of reverence. In the presence of Jesus, we should all be in awe. There should be an awesomeness in this place when we experience His presence with music and with the message. We come here respecting Him, don't we? He's holy. We're sinful. We shouldn't even be in His presence. And there's a sense of awe. But having a sense of reverence still falls short of gratitude. They heard of Jesus, and in verse 13, they lifted up their voices and said, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." They certainly did the right thing when they approached the Lord Jesus. They cried, lifting their voices. Leprosy usually affected the vocal cords. Someone with leprosy usually had to talk with a whisper, but these 10 lepers shouted. They recognized the person and the position of Jesus. His person, Jesus. Perhaps they didn't know what the word meant, Savior, but here was the great one from Nazareth. They said, "Master, the one who stands over us." They acknowledged Jesus' authority, His person and His position. All 10 were helpless and hopeless. Leprosy is a terrible disease, and certainly it was far worse back then. It was so bad that it would deform you. It would eat away your body. Many lepers had no fingers, no toes. They had nubs. Their face was disfigured. They were weak. They were cripples. They were shunned by society. They did the right thing, certainly, to call out to Jesus to have mercy on them. Maybe you remember the day Jesus passed by your life. I remember the day. It was February 12th, 1976, and Jesus passed by. I was 16, and my spiritual leprosy had progressed to a serious state. But I cried out to Jesus for mercy, and He gave it to me. He forgave me of my sins. When they saw, in verse 14, when He saw them, He said to them, He commanded them. Perhaps He wanted to test them to see if they were obedient. "Go show yourselves to the priest." And all 10 obeyed. All 10 did what Jesus commanded. But only one of them expressed gratitude. Just because we obey Jesus, we can still fall short of thanksgiving if we're not careful. And as they were going, they were healed. They didn't need to see the priest. As they were going to see the priest, they were healed. Jesus didn't touch them like He did others. He didn't announce their healing. He just gave them the command. And all of them demonstrated obedience. Can you imagine how it must have felt to be cleansed from a hideous, horrible disease? I wonder if they all noticed it at once, or maybe one of them noticed and the others started to take notice. They had all these sores. They're gone. They had no strength. They were strong. They were deformed. Perhaps there were now fingers and toes. They were healed completely. And you know what? We experienced that kind of thing when we were saved, right? Leprosy, as we will see, is a picture, an illustration of sin. And sin progresses in our life. Sin gets the best of us, of course. Sin is contagious. Sin separates us from God, like leprosy separated them from society. Sin can become a horrible disease. We can be bound to it with chains. And like leprosy, there's no human cure. There's no human cure for sin. There's got to be a change on the inside. Perhaps we cried to Jesus for mercy, and maybe someone shared with us Romans 10:13. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And we trusted in Jesus to save us, and he saved us. We were cleansed. We were made whole. Did we express thanksgiving? Even today, thinking about our healing, our cleansing, do we give gratitude to God? Only one of them came back to thank Jesus. Jesus, by the way, mentions this, where are the nine? And in the mentioning of that, it teaches us that Jesus took notice. He took notice of the nine who did not return and give gratitude to him. He takes notice when we are thankless. You know, it is so important to teach children how to thank others. That is something that perhaps doesn't come naturally. It doesn't. We have met children that have no sense of gratitude. They don't express thanksgiving. And we need to blame ourselves. Parents and grandparents need to teach our loved ones to be grateful. William Shakespeare said, "How sharper than a serpent's tooth it is to have a thankless child." God expects us to return and give thanks to him. There may be some that, like leprosy, sin has left you in a terrible condition. I've got news for you. You can cry out to Jesus and be saved. You can cry out for his mercy and he will give it. Jesus, Master, have mercy on me. Look at the message that was spoken in verses 15 and 16. And one of them, again, just one of them, notice what it says here. When he saw that he was healed, he returned and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. They were all cleansed. They were all healed. But only one of them returned to give thanks. Why? First of all, because of what he saw. He saw that he was healed. Gratitude. Gratitude begins with the way we see things. A genuine sense of thanksgiving is not just the way things are, but the way we see the way things are. It's how we see things from God's perspective that will cause us to be grateful to God. For instance, there'll be some this Thanksgiving who will sit down at a table. And for some of them, this has been a terrible year. A year of loss, a year of setback. Whether it was a family member, whether it was a financial situation, or some kind of illness. And they look back at this last year or 2 years, and they respond with bitterness and say, what do we have, God, to be thankful for? But then there'll be others who went through the same kind of difficulties, even worse. And because of their perception, because of the way they see things, they will be grateful to God. They will have a new sense of dependence upon God, a new awareness of the presence of God, His presence and His power in their lives. And they will be grateful. Thanksgiving begins with the way we see things. But not only that, with a loud voice he glorified God. Here was a public praising of God. He must have had a lion inside of him. He was praising God with a loud voice. Something he felt on the inside expressed itself on the outside. And that should be true with us. We experience His presence on the inside. We ought to praise Him on the outside. And what better place to do it than to do it with God's people in God's house? We ought to praise God. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. You know, we diminish the joy that is ours when we stay silent and don't express thanksgiving and praise to a great God. Be glad in the Lord and rejoice, you righteous. That's us. And shout for joy, all you who are upright in heart. We have something to celebrate. And it should be a public response, but also a private response. Man, he fell down at the feet of Jesus, giving him thanks. He shouted all the way back to Jesus when he saw that he was healed. And then when he got back to Jesus in humility, he fell at his feet. I'm sure he was, tears were streaming down his face. He was grateful. He was grateful. The others went off and didn't thank Jesus. Perhaps they didn't understand that it was Jesus that healed him, healed them. And they were thinking more about the gift than the giver of the gift. But here this one, he comes back and he's praising the giver of the gift. We have so much to be thankful for God loving us, for God saving us, for God cleansing us, for God changing us. We ought to express gratitude to Him. Maybe we should get on our faces sometime and express heartfelt gratitude to the Lord Jesus Christ. Give unto the Lord the glory due to His name. I mean, glory is owed to the Lord. He deserves our glory. He deserves our thanksgiving. We give thanks to you, O God. We give thanks in Psalm 75:1, for your wondrous works declare that your name is near. It is always proper to give thanks to God. But notice verse 17. The master who was shocked, the Lord Jesus answered and said, were there not 10 cleansed? Where are the nine? Where are the nine? You know, few things surprised Jesus. He was not surprised at the hypocrisy of the religious leaders. He was not surprised at the cross. He was not surprised when his own followers betrayed him, but this surprised him. Where are the nine? I'm sure they were just excited being cleansed. It wasn't that Jesus took back the gift. They lived the rest of their lives being cleansed of leprosy. But they failed to thank God. How easy it is for us to forget what God has done for us. Is it easy? Yes. It's very easy to forget everything that God has done for us. And then in verse 9 and verse 18, were there not any found who returned to give glory except this foreigner? Verse 16, he's a Samaritan, a foreigner. He's the least likely one to return. The other nine were Hebrews, Jews. The other nine were the ones most likely to come back and thank Jesus. These were the ones that had the book, the law, the covenant of God, the promises of God about a coming Messiah. They were the ones more likely to return to give thanks, but the least likely one, the Samaritan, was the one who came and gave thanks. Like the, you know, the good Samaritan, he was the one least likely to help. This Samaritan was an outcast, basically. He was a half-Jew. He worshipped in Shechem instead of the temple in Jerusalem. Probably when he left, the other nine said, well, thank God he's gone. Those who should have given thanks didn't. And the one least likely did. We are the ones more likely to give thanks, right? I mean, we are children of God. We have the Bible, the Word of God, God's promises. We have the presence of God and the power of the Holy Spirit. We have a history, church history. We have many that have walked and lived before us who profess Christ. We are the ones more likely to give thanks. Why don't we thank God enough when God has been so good to us? And Jesus said, arise and go your way. Your faith has made you well. As I said, the Bible illustrates leprosy as like a sin is illustrated. It progresses. Sin progresses. It separates us. Sin separates us from God. There's no human cure. To catch leprosy is really a sentence of death. And the Bible says the wages of sin is death. But I want to close with this profound, powerful thought. When a leper was cleansed, they had to go to a priest who pronounced that cleansing. And what the priest did in Leviticus 14, it's recorded, he took two birds. He killed one bird in an earthly vessel under running water. And then he let the other bird live. And he took the living bird, and from the blood and water of the dead bird, he sprinkled it on the living bird. And then he pronounced the leper clean, and then he let this living bird live and let him fly away. It was an illustration of the blood cleansing. We know, of course, that it was the blood of Jesus that was shed on a cross that provides our cleansing. We were lost. There was no human cure. We were blind. We had no hope. We were doomed to die. But Jesus passed by. And because we trusted Him alone for salvation and believed that what He did on the cross by shedding His blood was enough to satisfy God on our behalf, dying in our place, we accepted that, believing that He was raised from the dead. We're saved. He cleanses us. He saves us. He paid a debt we owed. The chains of sin that held us are broken. So with His blood, He cleanses us. He brought us from darkness into light. He washed us as white as snow, made us whole. So this Lord's Day and this Thanksgiving season, we ought to thank God for the blood that was applied to us. There's power in the blood. I want this quartet to come now and sing that great song as we conclude this message this morning. As they come, let's just pray. Father, we pray that You continue to speak to our hearts as we opened up Your word and learned about that one who came back to thank You. Oh God, we want to be that one. And we want to thank You above everything for the blood of Jesus applied to us so that we might be cleansed, saved, and live forever. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
I was a wretch, I remember who I was. I was lost, I was blind, I was running out of time. Sin separated, the breach was far too wide. But from the far side of the chasm, You held me in Your sight. So You made a way across the great divide. Left behind heaven's throne to build it here inside. And there at the cross, You paid the debt I owed. Broke my chains, freed my soul, and for the first time I had hope.
Thank You, Jesus, for the blood applied. Thank You, Jesus, it has washed me white. Thank You, Jesus, You have saved my life. From the darkness into glorious light.
You took my place, laid inside my tomb of sin. You were buried for 3 days, but then You walked right out again. And now death has no sting, and life has no end. For I have been transformed by the blood of the Lamb.
Thank You, Jesus, for the blood applied.
Thank You, Jesus.
Thank You, Jesus, it has washed me white. Thank You, Jesus, You have saved my life. into glorious light.
There is nothing stronger than the wonder-working power of the blood. The blood that calls the sons and daughters. We are ransomed by our Father through the blood. The blood. There is nothing stronger than the wonder-working power of the blood. The blood
that calls
us sons and daughters. We are ransomed by our Father through the blood. The blood.
Thank you, Jesus, for the blood applied.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus. It has
washed me white.
Thank you, Jesus. You have saved my life.
Brought me from the darkness into glorious light.
Glory to His name. Glory to His name. There to my heart was the blood applied. Glory to His name.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Remain standing. We're going to sing Amazing Grace as we conclude our service, and this is an opportunity for you to make a decision, of course, if you want to join our church, if you want to come and profess faith in Jesus, if you want to know more about Jesus, you can come. I'll be here. Others can be here to greet you and to pray with you, and let's just sing this final song this morning and thank God for His amazing grace.
Was grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious still that grace of me, the hour I first believed. My chains are gone. My God, my Savior, has ransomed.
sing that chorus again, church.
My chains are gone.
Celebrate tonight.
I've been set.